Blog Talk Radio.
Ever After with Brian and Cheryl, and that's what you're listening to now.
And we'd like to welcome Twitter, Facebook, Blog Talk, and Skype. And also the chat room is open. Excuse me. Now, the number to call in and listen by phone is 213-943-3378. Again, that number is 213-943-3378. And also, we haven't been on the air for a while, and so we have a new feature that we have a Facebook page. It's Happily Ever After with Brian and Cheryl Blog Talk Radio. And if you guys have any comments you'd like to make or anything like that, you can go on that page and you can type it in there and post it on the page, and we'll be able to respond to you that way. And we're hopefully going to be working on where we can have a, if you need to private message us, we'll work on some of that stuff where there's still kind of a work in progress. We're just getting restarted. We haven't been live for a number of weeks now. We've been preparing for to start our show up again, and so we're excited to start here. And Cheryl and I, you know, we've been married for over 23 years, you know, and we have four amazing children now. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And we believe that as we find out who we are in Christ and what God's Word says to us and about us, and that applying God's Word works, that we can all have victorious marriages. And we decided to do a show because we believe that there's nothing that God cannot fix. Every marriage can use some help somewhere. You know, and we've been through a lot of trials, I mean, many trials and battles. And the devil has been out to destroy our marriage from the beginning. And we're sure that we're not the only ones. He's trying to do the same to many of you. And we want this show to be used as a forum, and also our Facebook page now to be used as this forum to discuss the many different challenges that we can and that we will face in our marriages, and we need to find solutions for all of them from a biblical standpoint. Again, please feel free to call and listen into the show. It's 213-943-3378. Of course, you can find us on Blog Talk Radio, Happily Ever After with Brian and Cheryl. Excuse me. You know, and we would love to hear comments, testimonies, and we really want to, if we can answer any questions for you, just ask us whatever you'd like to ask us. We'd like to go ahead and open up our show with a word of prayer. Well, Father, we love you and praise you, and we are so thankful, Lord, that we have the opportunity to talk to a lot of folks on the radio and just to share our hearts with people, and to hopefully we all come to a conclusion of, you know, to make our marriages better, because that's what it's about. Our marriages are the image of you, and I pray for every marriage out there. I bind up the enemy, and I rebuke you, Satan, from attacking marriage, because that's what you're after. And so I cast you away from all marriages. We love and praise you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to share. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Awesome. Well, you got something?
No, we haven't started.
Okay. Well, tonight...
I was just getting closer.
Oh, okay. Cool. We'll be right back after this short commercial break. No, I'm just kidding. So anyway, you know, we have a topic tonight we were going to discuss, but before we do that, we wanted to just, as I mentioned, you know, we've always said we have three amazing children. Well, we have added a child to our family, and not by adoption or anything like that. Our oldest son was married last week, and so now we have a beautiful new daughter, and we just want to welcome her to our family, and we're excited for our son and for their future, and we know they're going to have a lot of fun and a lot of challenges, because every marriage is challenging, but it's also fun. I mean, if you're not having fun, then there's something wrong there, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got to try and have fun. Yeah, sometimes I know we take life, you know, we take it pretty seriously at times, and there are some things that are serious, that, you know, especially if you're dealing with sin and stuff like that you got to get rid of. But in actuality, you know, 10,000 years from now, when we've been praising Jesus for 10,000 years, everything that's happened on this earth is probably really not going to mean much to us. So, you know, and I'm not saying that to go act like a fool, because it's not going to matter. But what I'm saying is that, you know, if we can tend to take life a little bit too serious sometimes, and we have to just realize that, you know, life's fun. It's about, you know, it's about enjoying life. You need to enjoy life. So anyway, we have a new daughter, and it's exciting for us. And so the topic of our show tonight, we wanted to discuss, you know, is about the...
About not waiting for the storm to come into your life before you're prepared. You know, if you have a hurricane coming your way, you go ahead and prepare for that. You board up the windows. You prepare ahead of time so that you're ready when the storm comes. And so, you know, we see a lot of people dealing with things like their husband dies, they have a sickness, all these things that you want to go to God with, but, you know, you really should know what the Word says about every situation
mm-hmm.
before you enter into it. And the thing about it is you do not know when that storm is going to come.
And the key to that, excuse me, is that the storms do come. you know, the devil's out to kill, steal, and destroy. He seeks about like a roaring lion. He's looking to do damage. And so there are going to be storms in your life. So, you know, you can expect them to happen. You just can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of them we can bring on ourselves if we're not careful. And a lot of them, you know, they just happen because that's how the devil operates. He just hits you from the blind side, and then, you know, you have to be prepared for it. And if you lived in a hurricane, or not hurricane zones, if you lived in an area where a tornado is likely, you're always going to have a preparation for that. You're going to have the cellar to go to. You're going to have the shelter you need to go to, and because you would be foolish not to have that. And you may never see a major storm in your life like that, like a tornado, but you're prepared. And so I believe that the devil does come after each and every one of us, and he always seems to start out small. It seems like the harmless things, the things you think have no effect on you, really do have a huge effect. You're just not seeing the future of it.
Mm-hmm. You know, about a year ago, I was saying something online about how God will heal you, and since somebody's husband had died from a sickness, they got very offended. So a mutual friend of ours also got very offended. And, you know, I understand that a lot of things just seem like it's harsh to say, or, you know, the devil will make you take offense to something the very second that you get God's word given to you. But so that lady took offense and stopped seeing my friend about a year ago, and now she's been recently diagnosed with breast cancer. And so it's like, you know, the devil came and robbed that from her immediately. And, you know, the Bible says that the devil comes to steal the word from you right away. And so that is exactly what happened. And really, if she hadn't listened to what I said instead of getting offended because somebody was hurt because their husband didn't seek healing before he died, you know, there's circumstances that none of us can do anything about. But anybody steering you away from God for any circumstance is wrong. I understand that it's like people don't want to come to Christ and believe that you have to be saved because they know that they have had relatives die without, you know, proclaiming that they were saved. So they'd rather not get saved because they don't want to believe that their relatives weren't saved. You know, it's just ridiculous.
That's
what the devil can.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. So it's like,
I want to be in the same place they are, and so
yes.
They just refuse to accept Christ because they think
mm-hmm.
they're going to feel guilty because they get to go to heaven, but they're
that lady whose husband had died, she had a lot of respect for her husband and loved him, and she said she was offended because it sounded like somebody was saying that they knew something that her husband did not know. Well, especially after her husband died and all of that, you know, she honored him so much, and it just offended her for somebody to say something like that. you know, really, I would say to anybody not to take anybody's word for anything and get in, and only believe God.
Well, the word says that we suffer for lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason we suffer with any sickness, the only reason we suffer with a bad marriage or bad health or bad finances or anything else like that's bad that causes us pain and suffering, the Bible clearly says we suffer for lack of knowledge. My people suffer for lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't know, we're going to, it's going to, the devil, he'll get us. He'll get you that way. Because if you don't know what where you have victory and what you are, and that you're redeemed from the law, from curses and the law of sin and death and all that, if you don't know these things, then you're going to have some issues there. And so it's, and it's not because you're not good enough. It's not because of anything you've done. It's because that's the way that we are, the way things are set up. So if we lack the knowledge of knowing who we are in Christ, when a storm comes, we could really get beat up by that storm.
Mm-hmm. And so what Brian and I always teach is about knowing who you are in Christ by reading the scriptures and reading, you know, applying them to your own life.
Mm-hmm.
And you
even
know,
when it doesn't okay. seem like, even when, even in the natural, when you're looking at something and when you're facing an illness or something like that, and it seems silly to be saying, well, in Christ, I am healed. He suffered for all, he carried all our sickness and all our disease to the cross and suffered so that I don't have to suffer in that. We can, so I'm not going to suffer in that. I refuse to allow that to happen. And it might seem silly because you're right in the middle of that battle. You have to speak the truth because the truth is not what's in the natural. Excuse me. The truth is what's in the spiritual. Now our, we're a three-part being. We're spirit, soul, and body. And if you're born again, your spirit is 100% perfect. It can never get any better. And so you have the perfection of Christ, the same spirit that's Romans 8:11. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and quickens your mortal body. So that same spirit, if it can raise Christ from the dead, it can surely deliver you from cancer, deliver you from the flu, deliver you from kidney stones, from anything, you know. That's the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That's who you are in Christ. You have the faith of Christ. That's Galatians 2:20. If we live by the faith of Christ, not faith in Christ. We have the same faith that Christ has. You know, if you can understand that, you know, Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was, you know, God had shown him, because Jesus was God, but God had shown him that what he was about to do was going to set mankind free. But Jesus knew he was going to have to suffer. And he knew in the physical he was going to have to suffer. And so he was afraid. I mean, any if you knew that you were going to have to be put through that kind of torment and torture, you would be afraid. Even Christ was afraid. He had a body just like we have. And he knows it has. He feels pain. And but he let God's will be done in that. We have to remember who we are in him. He had enough faith to know that it was worth going through what he had to go through, enduring what he had to endure, because in the end, he was going to sit down at the right hand of God and he was going to reign forever and ever. And we get to reign with him. And that same faith that caused, that allowed him to endure the punishment that he endured, that's the same faith that we have. We live by the faith of Jesus, not faith in Jesus. And that's awesome. That's a part of who you are in Christ. You have the same spirit that raised him from the dead. You have the same faith that he had. You know, I think that's awesome. I mean, a lot of people think, if I just had more faith, if I just had more faith, I could have. It's not about that. You have the faith of Christ. It's just a matter of believing it. It's a matter of having faith in that fact that you have faith. It's kind of a...
Right. And the word says to build yourself up in your most holy faith. Also,
you're talking about praying in the spirit.
Yeah, because it's like activating your faith. That's how you're being prepared for the storm. Because
you have it already, yeah.
Right.
You have to be able to tap into it.
All of that faith within you. It's a gift that he gave you. Yeah. So And he said that even if you didn't feel like you had enough faith, he would see the faith for you.
Mm.
And that's just amazing. Mm-hmm. But 10:17 says that faith comes from hearing by the word of God. So when you're talking about sickness, you need to go right to the word and see what it says about healing. And so everything the word says, and you just renew your mind in that the healing is yours. And every verse that it talks about healing, you need to apply that to yourself. So if you start doing that before you ever get a diagnosis, before you ever get a sickness, you're going to be so much further down that path than if you hadn't done that. Your faith will be built up.
Well,
and
I like that, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you can say faith comes by the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, you know, you're speaking the word of God, you're reading the word of God. So faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the word of God. So faith has to come by the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get it any other way. You're not going to get faith because I tell you to have faith. You're not going to get faith because Cheryl reads a scripture to you. You have to get the word of God out, and you have to read it. Faith, you have to hear it. Faith comes by the word of God. And you don't ever want to lean on other people's faith or other people's because everybody's at a different place. It's great to listen to other people and hear what kind of, what's the word I'm looking for, revelation they have and what the things that God has shown them in their life. But if you want to get your own, just get into the Word. Because, you know, being healed and knowing that you're healed, you can read it all day long, and intellectually, in your mind, you can understand what the Word of God is saying. But until that leaves your mind and becomes a part of who you are and gets down into your soul and into your heart, you will struggle with it. And the only way to do that is the Word of God. The only way to tap into the faith that you've already been given is through the Word of God. I mean, that's what that verse says, you just said.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that.
Mm-hmm. Also, that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that's just so amazing is when you hear other people talk about how they were healed, it
mm-hmm.
helps you to receive. You know, and so I would be watching those as much as possible. I would be digging into the Word, and it's not just for healing, but for any circumstance that you can come upon. Because, you know, if you know who you are in Christ, if you know what the Word says, then all these things that are unexpected in your life, you'd be able to deal with them a lot easier.
Can I interject something there, too? When you overcoming by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of our testimony. So Jesus, his blood overcame sin. And then another way of us knowing that we overcame sin is to share our testimony. We overcome the enemy by constantly talking about our victories, by constantly telling people, hey, guess what? I used to be this way, and Jesus saved me. He pulled me out of the miry clay. You share your testimony with people. That is, like, huge because it reminds you of everything that Christ has done for you and who you are in Christ. It just does. So if you have a testimony and you have an opportunity to share that testimony, it's very important to do it. And it may seem awkward at first, and even for Cheryl and I, you know, it's still awkward in a way because I think that that's a work in progress also for us. But the more you do it, though, the easier it gets. The Holy Spirit reveals more to you. Because I think there's a lot of things that I know, I don't think, I know there's a lot of things that in my lifetime and in Cheryl's lifetime, that at the time you didn't realize it was God doing it. But then years down the road, you realize, wow, you know, God really did protect me in that situation. I could have made a really stupid decision, and I almost did, and for some reason I decided to do something different and it worked out. And so, you know, you're going to run into, you know, in order to have that kind of relationship and have that kind of remembrance and that you know, your spirit remembers all of these things, and it will bring it to your mind, you know, and that happens through the word. You know, the spirit reveals to us grace to grace, right? Every grace that God gives towards us, we end up, it gets revealed to us. I think it's going to be pretty interesting when we get to stand before the Lord and he shows us our life, and he actually shows us every time he was right there, every time he turned us a different direction. I really think that that's going to be an interesting thing. I do. Anyway. I can't wait to see, like, oh, yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, each circumstance that comes up, I keep thinking, wow, you know, if you know already who you are in Christ, you could deal with us a lot better. I mean, some things are terrible. Like that lady, there's a lady that had come over yesterday, the day before, who had lost her husband unexpectedly, and it's just kind of like she went through such a terrible time. You know, that is a terrible situation that, you know, she goes through. No, just a beautiful lady. And, yeah, and I thought, you know, how do you deal with that? And, you know, she was in bed for 3 months straight. She's having a very hard time even a year and a half later. And I just think, you know, really you need to know who you are in Christ. And really she'd be better off if she would have known before he died. Because, you know, circumstances are going to affect us. So if we at least seek Christ before we have any of those issues come up, at least we know that he's there for us. At least we know how to live by our faith, and at least we know how to call on him. You know, there's so many circumstances. Like somebody asked me to visit someone in prison. Somebody has their husband leaving them and wants him to come back. And just every situation is the same thing. We are being convinced by circumstances. We are being convinced by the things of this world and what other people are doing. Or, you know, if you're sick, it's hard to believe that this is just the devil tricking you, that you already have healing provided for you by Christ, unless you have been in the Word and you know it. You know, if you have victory in Christ, and you know it, then your attitude is going to be a lot different than if you don't know. I mean, you will just feel defeated. You will just feel like things are impossible. You will just think, like, I can't go on. It will change who you are inside and affect you. But if you know, if somebody is mocking you or the devil's trying to bring you down and make you convince you that you are a rotten person because of your sins and just condemn you constantly, then you would know to apply the scripture to it that says there is no condemnation in Christ. Mm-hmm. And so if you do that and you know it to be true, then you won't be sitting around thinking, why does everybody think so bad about me? You know, I'm just rotten. I can't do anything right. You won't be, because you will be absolutely convinced of what the word says. Oh, so, okay. You know, if you don't know that ahead of time, then you already let those emotions rule you. You get sad about it, and it affects you for a long time. And, you know, it does. Everybody wants to be liked or whatever, but if you could just brush off those negative things with the word, you'd be so much further ahead. And really, you know, if your spouse is treating you bad, maybe it's not going to affect you as much if you knew who you are in Christ. It's like you're victorious if you know who you are in Christ, regardless of the circumstances around you.
I think it's easier. The more you find out, the more you realize who you are, it does get easier to, I mean, when a storm comes your way, it's not as big of a deal. Because it doesn't affect you, because, you know, number one, you're not going to let the enemy, you know, have any of your... You don't want to give him any of your time, any of your thoughts. But the word tells us to not worry about anything, to pray. Be anxious for nothing, pray about everything. Jesus even said, what do we gain by even worrying one second, 1 minute in our life without it. There's no reason to be guessing and worrying. And, you know, and this sounds really bad, but if I was to go home to be with the Lord, you know, Cheryl, of course, she's going to miss me, and it's going to be sad. The kids would be sad, but they would understand that, well, he's in heaven. You know, he stayed, and he's with the Lord, and their life moves forward, you know, and that kind of thing. And so she would be able to weather that storm a lot better than the lady that come over and was just broken because her husband was gone, and she, and apparently, maybe we don't know the whole situation, but I don't believe that she, you know, had any kind of a hope of maybe what where he was. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like
that's
she didn't
important
know.
Too. If you know your spouse is saved and then they went to heaven.
Because, like I said, 10,000 years from now, that few years that she has to spend on this earth without her husband isn't going to mean much, because they're going to spend eternity together in heaven. I see that, you know, I know the word says that we're not given in marriage in heaven. The marriage is for earth. That's Mark chapter 14, I believe. But anyway, so there's no marriage in heaven, so to speak, because Jesus clearly told us that. But I do know that Cheryl and I are going to, we're one, and what's bound on earth is bound in heaven. And so it's kind of a mystery, you know. I'm kind of excited to see what that's going to be like. But also, you know, the Bible says that, you know, that people can get remarried, you know, after a spouse dies. And so who knows how this is all going to be in the end, you know. And it's probably just, it doesn't really clearly say how that's all going to pan out. But the thing is we're going to be together and we're going to be a part of each other's life for eternity. And that's an awesome thing, you know, that, and we're, not only are we husband and wife, but we're brother and sister also in the Lord, you know, and so that's a pretty cool thing too. And she's my helpmeet, and she helps me, and I help her, and that's part of marriage, you know, that's part of helping each other figure out who we are in Christ, and to always remind each other. And so, you know, when the storm starts coming in, you've got to be prepared. You just have to be ready. And be ready with your faith. Be ready with the knowledge of who you are in Christ. Be ready to speak the word over the situation in your life. If for some reason, you know, you lost your job, the devil, you know, comes in and he's trying to rob your finances. Well, you know that Jesus died on the cross for your prosperity, you know, as much as he died for your salvation and for your health. He defeated the enemy in every area of life. And so, instead of panicking and freaking out and saying all these negative things, you can be like, well, God, you must have something better, you know, and you start speaking because you know who you are in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people might not understand that, but you are freed from the curse.
Yeah.
So that's why
on
the cross, on the cross, it wasn't just for salvation, and it was for salvation, healing.
Even if that's all it was.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
prosperity.
Yeah, we are free from demonic oppression. We are free from death. I mean, he defeated death, too. I mean, we don't even die.
Yeah.
I mean, our physical bodies die, but, you know.
So when you get to the point that you know who you are in Christ, and you have to be building up your faith by hearing, then you need to know how to activate your faith. So faith, you know, the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. To be 13:1. So what it's saying is hoped for. So what it means is you are using your faith by thinking positively over the situation. So hoping positively over the situation, imagining positive things into the situation. So, for example, I know that Christ took sickness on the cross for me. If I can imagine, if I can imagine that he had, I mean, it's just amazing, really. If you think that worst pain that you've ever felt, being sick to your stomach, having a really bad toothache, it strikes with every one of our sicknesses and diseases on the cross like that. He suffered all of that for us so that we would not have to suffer.
That's awesome.
And, you know, a lot of people just don't understand that. It's just too much love to comprehend, but that is what happens. And, you know, you take communion in church once a month or so to remind yourself that this is Christ told us to take communion for two reasons. That's why you have two elements. It's because you are to remind yourself what he paid for your sickness and that he healed every sickness and disease, everyone, and that he forgave every sin, everyone.
Well, he wiped out the blood, washed away. The body was broken. That was the bread being broken, right? That's the one element. And his body was broken so that our bodies don't have to be broken. And then his blood washed away our sin. But it didn't just wash over it. It didn't cover it. It illuminated our sin. And I just want to remind everybody that we have a new way of doing things on the show. We have a Facebook page. It's called Happily Ever After with Brian and Cheryl, Blog Talk Radio. So if you have any comments or questions, go ahead and go post on that page, and we'll try to answer those as soon as we possibly can. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So if you had something happen to you, like you took to your stomach, you would imagine that Jesus took that on himself, which he did. He already suffered that. The price was already paid. He already dealt with that, so you didn't have to. And the Bible tells you that you cannot place Christ back on the cross. You can't forgive your sins again because you already did it. He can't take that sickness from you because he already paid for it. And so it's just like if you, you know, if a phone company calls you and said you didn't pay your bill, but you know you did, you'd get mad. It's the same thing. So when you're hoping for the stomachache to go away, you could literally envision that Christ took it on himself and just imagine like a big chalkboard eraser going over your stomach, taking that pain away because he paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's some circumstances, you know, obviously you have to study on healing and study the scriptures so that you know.
Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so don't take our word for it. Get into the word and
right,
start reading about it. Yeah.
Right.
But you can't take our word for it. Right, for you. you know, and there's some things that we dealt with, you know, you know, the enemy comes and he attacks us, you know, attacks our flesh, and it's like, oh my goodness, you know, I haven't felt this way for years, you know, and then you feel a cold coming on, and there's things that we're learning, because as you're battling this a cold or something like that, you know, it's like you don't ask God to heal you. You don't, what Cheryl's trying to say is, instead of saying, Lord, please heal me, I know that you went to the cross and you died for my sickness, so please heal me. What we're telling you is you need to tell God, no, thank you that by your stripes I was healed. I am healed. It's already healed. And even though you are coughing and your symptoms are there, you got a fever or whatever, you start speaking the truth. Now, the truth is that you are healed. I'm not telling you not to be dumb and not, you know, deny the fact that you're having some physical issues, because if you are, you need to actually speak to those physical issues and you need to tell them to leave. Just like if you got a fever, you got to tell you might feel silly at first, but you just say, fever, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. I am healed. I was healed 2,000 years ago. It's a done deal. Get out of my body now. Virus, get out of my body right now in the name of Jesus. We have authority over our bodies. And husband, you have authority over your wife's body. If your wife's not feeling well, and she tells you that she has a stomachache, yeah, nausea, I couldn't think of the word, then you can just say, okay, hang on. You lay your hand on her stomach and you tell it, nausea, I command you to leave my wife right now in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against her will prosper. So you get out of there right now. You're not going to bother her any longer. And you tell her to leave. Because we've been given that authority. That's who we are in Christ. We have, you know, all the promises are yes and amen. Everything that the Old Testament described that the Messiah was going to do, Jesus fulfilled every bit of that. And we actually have a lot of people like to think, oh, I wish I was like Elijah, I wish I was like Moses. And I believe I've said this before on the radio show, but Elijah and Moses wishes they were like us. They wish that they had the kind of relationship that we can have with God, because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. And we are powerful. Husbands, you guys are powerful. You are the spiritual leader of your home. When you're walking with the Lord and you are in Christ, and you have submitted yourself to Christ, you're powerful. You should be able to believe and understand and know that you have authority over your wife's physical body, your children, your own, you know, and just as you, and the wife, you have authority over your husband's body. And so it's like we can speak and pray over each other, and you do it. You got to pray over each other. You have to speak to the sentence. You have to, or not just sickness. You know, we can go to something where we could talk about finances. You can actually speak out loud to your bank account, and you can tell your bank account to stop being red and to start getting into the black. You can speak to your wallet. Take it out of your pocket and say, wallet, I command you to get full. I command you to have money. You can speak to we have authority in this earth. God gave us that in the beginning.
Yes. And it's not by some preacher on television telling you to send him money so you'll be healed.
Like $52.14. It's the special Isaiah healing.
Yeah,
or
never
prosperity.
Is it that. I mean, we believe in giving, and we see, you know,
we
know that you can be blessed by it, but you don't, you know, you need to get in the Word, and you need to know what God is telling you and learn to hear His voice. Nobody else needs to tell you to give, you know, God doesn't make you pay for it.
Right, that's like living in law, where like, well, if I do this and this and this, then I'm going to get this and this.
Right. Because
everything's been given to us. And the best illustration that I've ever heard is Andrew Womack's, where he talks about all of these blessings are out there. They've already been released to us. But just think about, you know, you can't see television waves. But if you turn on the TV, and if you remember, and they have it digital now, but with the old rabbit ears, you could turn them a certain way, and they would pick up a TV channel. Well, radio is the same way. Radio, you can turn a tuner and you can tune in a radio station, but you can't see the radio station. You can't see those songs in the air. You can't see the TV broadcast in the air, but you know it's there because you can find it with your tuner. Well, that's the same thing with the blessings of God. They have been released to us. Jesus said it is finished. Jesus is no longer healing people anymore. He's already healed everybody. He's released healing. He's released prosperity into this
mm-hmm.
earth.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that we're not receiving it is because our tuners are a little bit out of whack. And we're not, you know, and we're not having the faith. The faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And
mm-hmm.
so that's the best illustration I've ever heard is, hey, my prosperity has been released to me. Why am I not walking in it? Well, let me fix my tuner. Let me tweak this and figure out why. It's all there, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Same with your health. Same with your, you know, salvation, of course, is there too. It's been released.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to tune into it.
Right. So the word does say, give and it shall be given unto you. And mm-hmm. so, you know, we do believe in giving. I put in an offering at church and specifically asked the Lord for a couple things to change with. Right? I know. That my husband would be blessed, and he did that. You know, it absolutely happened. But it's not because someone else is telling me you that you have to give $1,111 and then you'll be healed. You know, it's just like
November 11th, yeah.
Yeah, it's very sad that people, you know, are being told that because God doesn't do things that way. And He wants you to give not out of being pressured, but out of giving from your heart. So when you get in the Word, you will see that giving things you do to things, and you want to do it from a good heart, you know, from the right, a right peacefulness in your heart.
You know, and all of this, you know, we're talking about because there's, it's our goal for our show and our goal in life in general is to have successful, happy marriages. And, you know, when we take vows, when we get married, you know, we vow to each other that we would love, honor, and cherish in every situation, in sickness, in health, in rich or poor, and, you know, and all, and we promise that to each other. And the thing is we don't want to add to the already, the pressure that we feel, or that we feel like we're under to have a good marriage anyway. And so, you know, a lot of marriages end because finances are bad, health is bad, you know, or it's just a bad situation, you know. The worst part's coming out, not the better part. And that's why we have those vows. And so Carol and I want to share with you our hearts on that because I know for a fact that, you know, it is easier when the bills are paid. There's a little less stress. You can focus on other things that are more important. It's easier when you're healthy because then you're sick. You can focus on other things that need to be focused on. The devil wants to distract us with poverty, with sickness, he can get in there with addictions, he can get in there with pornography, there's things like that. He wants to distract us with all these things that we've already been set free from. Even, you know what I mean? It's like...
Right, but you really already have that freedom.
You really are, yeah.
But you need to know it.
And you need to know it, and you need to walk in it, and you need to believe in it. And, you know, and if you don't, then your marriage can be a much more of a struggle than it needs to be. Now, if you are having some financial issues right now, you need to stop and just start speaking to your job, start speaking to your wallet, like I said, to your bank account. Start believing what you have been promised, what you've already been given. Remember, it's out there. Just tune into it. Jesus is finished. He, like, you know, and people get offended when you say stuff like Jesus is not healing people anymore. Well, people are getting healed every day miraculously through the blood, through the work of the cross, but it's not because Jesus is doing it today. He did it 2,000 years ago, and He released that to all of us. So it's out there for you. Your prosperity is out there for you. And, you know, and I am a prosperity believer. I believe God did not intend for His people to be poor wayfarers that can't afford to pay their bills, and they drive junky cars, and that's because they're suffering for the Lord. You know, it takes money to spread the word of God. God knows what you need in order to. It's just like, you know, the Word tells us, aren't we much more important than the birds? And He feeds them, and He clothes the fields with lilies. And we are much more important than any part of creation. God is not going to leave us out in the cold. He's not going to provide for us all of our needs. But He provides our needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Not what our riches are. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask for or think of. So you can think of the most extravagant way you would want to live, and God can outdo it, and He can outdo that. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all of that. That's already there for each of us. I believe that. I believe that we should be walking in financial prosperity. physical prosperity. Health, we should be walking in all of this. You know, when people are saying, how come you got all of this? Why are you got all that? It's like you can give all that glory back to God. Because I'm, like for me, it's surely nothing, it's not my ability. It's because Christ, it's the ability that God has given. You know, so.
A lot of the time, people will say, well, if I was like Billy Graham or if I was like such and such person, then I could be healed or I could be, you know, walking in my faith, whatever. But God says, and the Bible says this a couple different scriptures, but I want you to write this down because you need to speak it over yourself. God,
homework. Do it.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're after, that we are speaking the word over ourselves so we will know it. We're not waiting for something terrible to happen, but we need to have this scripture in us so that the Holy Spirit can bring it back to our remembrance. And this is in more than one place, but this was Acts 10:34 that tells you that God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't see me different than he sees you. He doesn't think someone else is better than you. He doesn't see somebody who sins less than you as better than you. He loves us all equally. We are all entitled to the good stuff that God has for us. We're all equal in God's sight. You know, he's not looking at you as if you're good enough or bad enough. If you're born again, your sins, you've received the forgiveness that he already paid for you to have 2,000 years ago.
Your sins will judge with Christ.
So, you know, he is not looking at us and, you know,
based on our performance.
But, you know, the devil's going to tell you that. He's going to say, oh, Cheryl thinks she's better than you because she got healed of that. And that's just stupid. You know, that's just absolutely stupid.
It
the
is.
Devil is trying to make you, oh, nobody else has this sin in their life. You're the only one. That you'll feel isolated and ashamed. That's, you know, wrong. Everybody has something that they're dealing with. Everybody has something that the devil has made a trap for them. And so you can't let yourself feel guilty and condemned. You need to speak the word over yourself.
Well, and that goes back to, like, a lot of people don't realize it, but God, a lot of people think that everything passes through the fingers of God, and so if the child suffers and this kind of stuff, you know, I understand that thought process because I used to think that way, and it's a battle to, it was a battle to get my mind away from that, because the thing is God, you know, he is not up in heaven picking and choosing who he's going to heal and who he's not going to heal. He's not doing that. He's done it for everybody. That's what that means. He's no respecter of persons. And so people get upset at us sometimes, like Cheryl was talking about earlier, because that comes across like we're saying, well, it's your fault then that you didn't get healed. And the fact of the matter is it's not so much your fault, it's my people suffer for lack of knowledge. And it's not your fault. If you don't know something, then you can't be expected to answer for that. You know what I mean?
It's like,
yeah, and so what God is saying to us is that's why you're suffering, because you don't know. Now, if you learn and you do know and you get in the Word and you find that out, your suffering will diminish to the point where we won't suffer in anything, really. And I do believe that's a lifelong journey.
Yeah.
To get to a point like that.
Right, because we also have unbelief.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, that's a
sniffles, why am I fighting a sniffle?
Well, that's a different subject for a different day.
Yeah.
So, again, that verse was Acts 10:34, and basically that's just saying to you that God does not play favorites and he sees us all equal.
Right.
I mean, that is so important because the devil just uses that against you so much.
Well, he does. I used to think, wow, why are they so blessed and I'm not, you know? And
why are the people
just,
who are, you know, so mean?
Yeah, especially people
so
who are, like, just so, you know.
Or who thought they were.
They weren't
just,
even, yeah, anyway. That's
yeah. It would just be rude to you. And, yeah.
The devil pulled me into that kind of thinking for quite some time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, also, Jesus made you righteous by what he did.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that the devil tries
Jesus.
To bring against you, you need to have this scripture for that. It's 2 Corinthians 5:21. And it says that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, basically. So you need to speak that. Every time you're feeling guilty, every time you're feeling not worthy, every time you're feeling...
That means I am in the right standing with God.
Right.
I am in right standing. What that means is I am in right with God because of Jesus Christ, because of what Jesus did. So that's what that means.
It means that you're entitled.
So no matter what you've done, because of the blood of Christ, because we all sin, we all are dumb sometimes, you know. You are still in right standing. Righteousness means in right standing. You are in right standing with God because of Jesus. It's not anything that you've done that makes God think you are good. It's about what Jesus has done that causes God to look at us in right standing with him.
Right.
So you are. So I like to tell people that. That's what that means, is you can say it that way too. No, I am in right standing with God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, I know I messed up. Forgive me, Father. I repent. I won't do it again. Give me strength not to do it again, but I am in right standing with you. Mm-hmm. And devil, you just stop telling me right now that I am not.
Right. And so like if the devil, a person, your circumstances, your body, anything is trying to tell you other than what Christ says about you, you say this verse, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's your answer. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Also, you know, when the devil was tempting Jesus, he spoke the word over every single temptation. And, you know, it is a temptation to fall into sickness. It is a temptation to fall into sin. It is a temptation to fall into thinking that you're not good enough or that... And it is a temptation to fall into feeling guilty over what you've done. So when you just speak that, no, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Mm.
And you can build up your faith in knowing that the more that you speak that verse over yourself.
Well, you know, I was fighting off a cold for a while, quite a number of days. And the whole time, yeah, I was just, and I didn't miss any work, you know, but I had temptation to just say, oh, I'm not going into work today. I'm not going to do it. I don't feel good. That's tempting. That's tempting to lay down and just give in, you know, and be like, well, I'm just giving in. I'm calling off sick, and I'm sick, so I'm just going to call off sick. And the thing is, you know, that's what Cheryl's talking about. You know, we don't have to give in because that is sin to give in to sin. It's like, you know, don't give in to it. You know, don't give in to the devil. I'm not saying being sick is sin. That's what I meant. But that's like giving in to the enemy, you know. Don't do it. Well, we're going to take a short break, folks, and we'll be right back, okay? God bless you. We'll see you in just a moment.
Your glory, because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you. You.
All right, welcome back. And you have been listening to Happily Ever After with Brian and Cheryl. And just to recap tonight's show, you know, we're talking about be prepared for the storm. Don't let the storm hit without being prepared. You know, Cheryl gave us some good verses to focus on. We are the righteousness in God through Christ Jesus. That means we are in right standing with God because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, and that we have to remember that God is no respecter of persons. We have to remember that what he's done for somebody else, he's going to do for you. And we also have to remember that we are, that everything, all the blessings of the Lord are, they're already ours. Jesus has already fulfilled all of the promises that he said he was going to fulfill. I will say it again, Jesus is not healing people today. He's already healed all of us. And so we want to just be sure that we remember who we are always and who God has called us to be. And so before we end the show tonight, you know, I just want to say that, you know, Cheryl and I, our marriage has not been like this wonderful bed of roses that everybody might assume that it's been. And in fact, people who know us probably wonder how we even, you know, made it through to where we are now. It was kind of like everybody was against us in the first place. We were really young when we got married. We were 20 and 19. And, you know, we I was an addict when she married me and she didn't know it. And neither one of us was saved. And we just lived a pretty wild kind of a young life, you know, a lot of drinking and partying and things like that. And then, of course, me being an addict, you know, I mean, I was hooked on alcohol from a young age, you know, from the, like, elementary school on. And so we fought a lot through that. And you know, there was many times, I mean, how many times did you say, you know, that we thought it was over, really?
Several times.
And
we didn't know God, we had no clue about anything, really. We didn't have a Christian home, either one of us, so we really, really didn't have any fine line between what was right and wrong, good or bad.
Right, you know.
And marriage was not important.
I mean, I think to Cheryl, it was, I think marriage was her, maybe, I mean, I hope I can say this without getting, you know, in trouble, but I think marriage was kind of her, her rescue from the kind of, because, you know, she lived in an abusive type of she grew up in an abusive kind of home, and so I was like rescuing her from that, but on the other hand, me, I didn't take marriage seriously because, I mean, I watched my parents get divorced after divorce, and I don't know what it was. I knew that Cheryl was the one God made for me. From the first time I seen her, loved her, wanted to be her husband. And that came to happen, and then it was just like, well, the devil had been out to destroy our marriage from the beginning, just like we always say in the opening of the show. And it took a lot of years to figure that out for me, you know, and it's still a battle in some areas, you know. It's like life just doesn't all of a sudden just stop being tough sometimes. You do have to be persistent. You do have to make an effort to change who you are. You know, you cannot force your spouse to change. That's the one thing that Cheryl kind of learned, you know, that she tried all these different things to try to get me to stop being an addict, and everything she tried, you know, just was a failure until the Holy Spirit had told her, hey, just stop. Just give him to me and I'll take care of things. And you know, things got taken care of and it happened quickly.
We should probably talk about that next week, so that we can really somebody to understand how God brought us through that.
Because there are a lot of things out there that we know for a fact that, you know, people go through a lot of things. There's a lot of attacks on marriage, and it's difficult this day and age. I mean, it's getting worse and worse. You know, television just promotes promiscuity, and it promotes, you know, not even getting married. It promotes marriage, same-sex marriage, and that, you know, that being married is actually, a man and a woman being married is actually kind of outdated, you know. It's just really stupid. I mean, it's just stupid, you know, and the Bible warns us about these times, you know. It tells us that people will call bad things good and they'll call good things bad. And if you would just open your eyes to that and realize that, hey, that's right. There's all these things that I used to think that were bad. Why is the world saying that they're good now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's biblical, folks, and you know, and it's happening. And so, you know, we just want you guys to understand that we're real. We're a real couple. You name it, from A to Z, it's happened to us in our marriage, and we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And that's how you have to do it. You have to take it one thing at a time, and God will meet you where you're at in your marriage. He will, you know, He will step in there right now, right where you're at. And if it's on the brink of divorce, if you're not even in the same home, you know, whatever the situation, you know, whatever your circumstances, God will meet you right there. You know, you just ask Him, you know, to help you, and He will help you. You know, you have to be willing to allow Him to come in, though. And you have to be willing to lay down some of the things that you're holding on to. That was a big part of my problem, and it has been for years, is that I don't want to let go of, you know, it's like, oh, I want to keep my big toe in the world and not let go of some of the stuff that's there. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and pray, and I want to remind you that if you have any comments, go ahead and go to our Facebook page. It's Happily Ever After with Zion and Cheryl, Blog Talk Radio program. And also I have another page that you can go on and comment or send me a message. It's called It's Never Too Late to Live Happily Ever After. So let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity to talk to everybody and share our hearts with folks. And Lord, I pray that for every marriage out there, Lord, that You will meet each one of them where they are at, and that You will set their feet to the path to get going in the right direction for marriage. And Father, we know that the most important thing to You is marriage, and that it is a big deal, and that it is a commitment. And Father, I pray for all marriages out there in the name of Jesus that will remember what it was like when they first met each other, to remember how they felt when they first saw that other half of them, and to recall that and to walk in that and to remember the love of their youth and how that all started. So I know that's what worked for Cheryl and I a lot. So, Father, I love You and praise You. We thank You for the opportunity to talk tonight. Praise You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And hey, everybody out there, just want to remind you, it is never too late to live happily ever after. So God bless you, everybody. And we will see you next Tuesday, 7 p.m. Central. You guys have a good week. And pray for each other. Love on each other. You know, hold hands. Sit close to each other. Guys, take your wife out on a date. You know. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Every day.